Anna, you have a second?
I'm
okay, yeah, of course, yeah. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Penalty Loop Podcast, a podcast about biathlon by Jordan Gottschalk from Penalty Loop and a regular guest, RJ Weiss from Biathlon Analytics.
Hey, RJ, we are back.
We are back.
It's been
kind of normal. You in Florida, me in Calgary, snow on the ground.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's been, you know what, 3 days since we recorded last. So I think, I think we're good to tackle Canmore again, Canmore part two.
Yeah. And then I guess more from a general World Cup experience.
Yeah.
Rather than, the inside being present there. It's just incredible. Like, they were skiing at like 16 plus Celsius and people were worried about the snow holding up, which I don't know what the organizers did, but it was really good given the conditions. And then, I think Monday was still like plus 18 here in Calgary.
Ugh.
Then yesterday it was 2 degrees and now it's below zero in Celsius and it snowed, I would say almost half a foot of snow.
Oh my gosh.
And it's still snowing.
Oh, good timing.
So it's, they just had an incredible, incredible weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the weather we have now is what I was afraid of. And even if it's not cold enough that they would cancel, that's still pretty miserable to race in and to watch. And
I was going to say, if you're just standing around watching and it's just, you're just cold and getting snowed on. Yeah.
It
worked out perfect. Exactly. And that's going to be everybody's lasting memory. And they're going to schedule more races in Canmore now because of that.
Yeah. It's, that would be so, so cool.
It's going to happen.
And it's really funny because, I mean, I'm not expecting if I just walk up to an athlete and say, hey, do you like being in Canmore? That they're going to be like, oh, no, man, it sucks. But, like, everybody was, it seemed genuinely excited. And again, the weather helped. But, you know, just because I asked a couple of athletes just kind of in passing, like, do you like it here? Is the time zone bothering you? And they were all like, no, well, it was a bit harder in Soldier Hollow. But, you know, once you're in race mode, it's not too bad. And they're pretty exhausted by the end of the season. So I'm sure some people had trouble sleeping, but most of them said that that it was fine. But
yeah, I can't imagine that at this stage of the season that even with the time changes and whatnot, that they were all probably pretty excited to just be done. Yeah.
You could so tell on the Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, Because usually, so kind of the top three were hovering around the interview stations and stuff, and then their teammates would just kind of hang around and that kind of thing. So there was always, you know, at least 10, 15 athletes in that area, and then just behind there were the athletes where they, you know, take the bands, the timing bands off and that kind of thing. And at the end of the men's race, there was just no one there. They were all like kind of in the finish area.
Good for them.
Just,
just tired.
So yeah, just ready
mentally as much as anything, I bet.
Yeah.
So how are you feeling? We're at the end. So this is we've got a season wrap up we're going to do. We have a couple of interviews, I think, tentatively, sort of not dates set on them, but squared away. Mm-hmm. But this is sort of the end of our regular weekly.
That hasn't really sunk in yet.
No, yeah, I know. Me either. Yeah.
And I did want to say, I hope to also do almost a full season review of IBU and juniors.
Yes. Yep.
We'll.
I think we've been talking about that for
when
about
that's
a month.
Happen.
So we'll get it eventually.
Yeah. No, but it's it is a bit weird that it's over now even though it felt like a end of season, I needed some time to recover, and I just today started downloading all the data of all the races and stuff, and started to do a little bit of analysis on the Canmore weekend and the season generally, but that's gonna have to wait for a little bit before I find something interesting in there. But
yes,
I always wonder, you know, when like a team wins a Super Bowl, they have the parade and stuff. Did you happen to see anything on Instagram with Lisa Vitozzi landing in Italy? And
I didn't. I wasn't specifically looking for it. And I'll be honest, in the couple days since the season ended, I did a little social media detox. So I posted a couple times and then sort of put it away. So I really haven't been very active, but I'll have to get back on there.
I don't know if that would even happen. Like, I'm sure there's family and friends and that kind of thing, but just curious if there's actually, you know, say 100 biathlon fans waiting for her at the airport to welcome her home.
You know, what I thought was interesting is that you mentioned in the last episode about how shortly after women's race, one of the races, you saw, you know, Vitozzi and a couple of the other athletes standing in line at a food truck waiting to get a hamburger. And it's just like, you know, Patrick Mahomes, winning quarterback at the Super Bowl, he's not going to be waiting in line, right? Like, he's just going to have it, you know.
Right. He has his own truck.
Right. Yeah. So these athletes, and we say this all the time, but they're just so, like, they're just real people. And it's just, you know, kind of fun.
Yeah.
So I would like to see that because I want Vitozzi to be celebrated, but I'd also like to see it because I just wonder how she would react to it because it'd be sort of, you know, I could see it would just be like, whoa, you know, all these people.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it's, I don't know, I think it's that it seems like typically biathletes are pretty humble people. And and I also think there's just a lot of biathlon fans who really love watching biathlon, but who are not really into the, you know, knowing everybody by name and roughly knowing their stats. So I could totally see, even after her winning the Globe, that a lot of spectators saw a athlete by the, you know, food truck, but weren't really sure who it was.
Didn't know who that was. Yeah, absolutely.
And I must say, the Italian women, they all seem kind of a similar build.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you compare, say, Anna Magnusson with Knoten, like they're very, I know they're not the same team, but they're a very different body posture size.
Yeah.
And the Italians all seem a little similar build.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Harder to pick them out when they're if you don't know them as well, they're standing side by side.
Right, yeah.
Although, of course, Vera wasn't there, so she would probably be a little more recognizable, I would imagine.
She'd probably be the one Italian with the most people around her still. Oh,
okay. Well, maybe the athlete with the most people around them.
Yeah.
So should we do our normal thing?
Yeah.
All right.
Anything, any race you want to jump to, or do you want to just chronologically?
I would say it's so hard because it's the end of the race and we do want to, because there's so many big season things you kind of want to hold until we talk about the whole season together. But it's also because this weekend, you know, there were the overall races came down to this weekend. It's sort of hard to separate them entirely. So we'll get into it a little bit, I know, but, so we'll do our best not to step on the future podcast too much. But I, you know, of course, watching the races in maybe not so much in person, but at home, you know, the entire time you're sort of doing mental calculations of, oh, you know, Vitozzi is here or Johannes is there, you know, at what point do they secure the Globe and everything? So I think that, and this hits me every last weekend or every weekend that the Globe is up for determination. It's just the watching with I already do split screens, but you know, watching with one eye on the numbers as much as anything else, and it makes it a very complicated watch sometimes.
Yeah, and like I said, I found it hard to follow the races there. I did watch two races back, but I didn't have a chance to watch everything yet, so in that sense I'm a little like more things of how many people shot clean relatively to, like, you know, was it an easy shooting day or not? Because it surprised me, for example, just looking at the sprints, there were a significant number of athletes who shot clean.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also, well, one athlete with eight misses, but there's Johanna Talaherm with seven, Anna Hjuk with five, like Idalin four, Arnaclive four. So I don't, do you recall if the wind was kind of
the wind was
switching
dead
or
all weekend? Every time they showed the flags, they were limp and or just like barely just kind of puffing, you know, just not for much at all. And even on the last day, so if you look at the mass start and you just see some really wild shooting numbers, I think the men's mass start, you look at, obviously Samuelson had seven, Surum had seven, Dole had six, Reed Mueller six, Kuhn six, Horn five, Lagerwood five, Perot five. I mean, it's just like tons of misses everywhere.
Could be that a lot of them were in a position of, you know, like do a Emilien Jacquelin today.
That's what I was going to say.
It's great. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Yeah, I think at that point everything was decided except for the U25 and the Mass Star Globe.
Hmm.
And I think that people were tired, and it was just kind of like, well, what's happening? Well, just let it go. You know.
Yeah, and I mean, combined the travel and then the end of the season and just everything combined, they were just also probably just exhausted, right?
Oh, yeah. They had to be.
Like, of course, I don't see all the athletes on the ground at every race because you're just depending on what the cameraman picks up. But to see them right in front of you and not just, you know, catching their breath, but literally like barely able to breathe and
about
significant pain.
Lotte Lee, you know, they came and checked on her because she was, you know, just collapsed. Yodelay.
Faut pas négliger Diagonal, elle vient de faire
Monte.
Parfaite.
Hey, RJ, Penalty Loop Podcast.
Hello.
How did you do? You shot well, right?
Yeah, one mistake.
One?
So, but my shape is, I'm empty. So,
what's that?
I'm empty, it's hard to, hard to push, it's a long season.
Yeah, well, you got only two more, right? You going to get to the mass start?
I hope.
Yeah.
For now, it's good, but you never know.
Yeah,
so,
well,
it's cool
we'll
to
be
here.
Rooting for you.
Good, thank you.
Okay. Lotte, you have a minute or?
Yeah.
Yeah. How did today go?
Oh, it was horrible.
Horrible, yeah.
No shape and bad
Is it just a little too much at the end of the season or?
I think so.
Yeah. Well, the time change doesn't help, I'm sure. Been here for a bit.
I had a good world champs, but then I ended up sick after. Right. So I haven't been training. I haven't been able to train since before the world champs. So right. I guess at one side, I'm not surprised that it's never fun when you...
No, of course, yeah. And I'm sorry I didn't follow, but are you on for the mass start tomorrow? Or?
I think it's on the limit because I didn't do any points today. I don't know.
Kind of depends on what the others did around your spot.
Yeah, I know some behind it very well, so I'm not sure.
Okay, well, I cross my fingers that you'll be there. Can I just give you a little token of our appreciation for being on the podcast earlier, and we would love to talk to you again in the off-season if that works for you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. I hope to see you on the track tomorrow. Take care.
Yeah, and one of the races I watched back, I think they have two or three athletes that they walked over pretty much right away to check on them. And I do, you know, we're not that high, but it's still over 1,000 meters above sea level.
Like 1,400 at Canmore, isn't it?
Yeah, 1,400. And then... like I said earlier, the range entry is not easy. And, you know, compare that to other ranges where they usually have a flat or even a little bit of a downhill that kind of takes them slowly to the range. Here, you basically have a steep uphill, then a bit of a flat, gradual downhill, and then a long, not so steep, but continuously tough uphill. And then even if there's hardly any wind, you still, the wind that's there, you usually get it in your face.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the sloppy snow conditions, and then you have a bridge that for them looks like it's not a, you know, it's merely a blimp on the map. But I did actually ask a couple of athletes, and they said it was a pretty nasty thing to do just before you go into the range, because basically they come off and sharp turns, especially like on the downhill where you get some speed, when your legs are already pretty tired. Of course, these are professional athletes, most of them, but they're still, it's still, it's not relaxing. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you're just easily gliding in. So, yeah, that could be an effect. And I think I quickly looked at the shooting percentages for events. And of course, the last time was in 2019, and maybe not a fair comparison, but it looked, if I remember correctly, was the or one of the toughest ranges if you just looked at the the percentages. And then the light is often also something that gets overlooked a little bit, because it makes a big impact on, you know, where the sun's coming from, if the sun direction is different from zeroing, and if it's brighter or not. So
yeah, and that's something I just don't think about very much, you know, with the shooting, the angle of the sun. And yeah,
and I must say, when I'm shooting, I don't really see it. It's sometimes just when I'm zeroing and my coach is like, oh yeah, four clicks up or whatever the change is.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, so it's just the lighting. It's not me.
Uh-huh. That's it. It's just you. It's just the lighting. Not you.
Yeah.
Oh man.
No, one thing that stood out to me is that Lampage was not even close to being the worst shooter.
Really?
She had two misses in the sprint.
Oh! I was thinking because I just looked at the mass start and she had 9 misses, and I was like, "Oh my gosh!"
Oh yeah,
how did somebody have more than that?
But yeah, that and the other Folk seemed to be a bit off.
Yeah,
with unusual misses.
That's interesting. So, because we just talked about her, was it in Oslo or in Soldier Hollow, where she had some really nice skiing.
Mm-hmm.
She's still, what did she end up, like 8th overall this year? And I still am waiting for her to have it all come together at the same time.
Right.
Which is a crazy thing to say about somebody who is 8th overall, but still, it's going to happen.
Well, yeah, because
it's going to be fantastic.
Wasn't that the race where she was leading Knoten most
could
of the
been.
Race?
Could have been.
Or in, that was in a relay, I think, relay.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, it's exactly that, right? Where she has some amazing ski speed sometimes. Her shooting is typically good.
Yeah.
Her shooting speed is typically one of the lowest.
Not good, yeah.
So it's a little bit of, you know, if she can keep the ski speed the way it is, but shoot a little bit faster without losing too much accuracy, then she's definitely going to move up a bit.
Yeah, she just needs to go to school with Anna Gondler. Right?
Yeah.
On the shooting speed.
God, I've been watching the video back on her shooting position. I still can't believe how solid she is.
It's pretty awesome.
So and I think combined with when she skis, her upper body is also super solid. I actually talked to one of the people in my biathlon group who still teaches people how to ski and has incredible skiing technique. And we're talking a little bit about athletes, and pointed out Benny Dole. And then I also pointed out Anna Gandler as an example of somebody who's just, even in the last lap, still so, you know, solid and not leaning over, not bending, just upper body still straight.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Sure shooting. So from the start of the World Championships through the end of the season, she hit exactly 90%, which was a total of 190 shots. Gondler did, 90%.
Wow.
So not a small sample size. I'll say if she can keep that up, clearly she's a top 10 athlete because she just finished top 10 for what, 5-6 straight races. So
yeah,
it's awesome. It makes me very excited for next season. Mm-hmm. And we should mention that in Canmore, right? She went 6th in the sprint, 6th in the pursuit. And that was, I think, 3 straight 6th place finishes for. And then she finally broke the streak and finished 5th in the mass start. And I believe you said that after having spoken with her, she was obviously excited about the 5th. But she felt that she could have finished a little bit faster, or a little bit higher because she had a magazine issue. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think that was the last race. I'm not 100% sure. But yeah, I think her clip fell out maybe while she was shooting or before she was shooting. So yeah, that must have been the one where she got 5th and felt with not happening, she could have been in. Because can you remind me, did she leave in 4th and then Justine Brigeat-Boucher caught up with her in the last lap?
Yeah.
Because I was actually, when she came out 4th, I was actually wondering if she would be able to catch up with that French girl who got in 3rd.
Yes, so was I was having the same thought.
I didn't know if she was a fast skier or not. So
yeah, I had the same thought because she wasn't that far behind, but it was also a big enough gap. I was like, I don't, you know.
Yeah.
But, it's a personal best, and you can never argue with a personal. Yodeling.
Hey, awesome race, and what an end of the season.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Incredible. I know you were really hoping for a podium for the last race, I'm sure.
It's okay. I had some problems with my prone shooting because the magazine didn't go in.
Oh.
And then I lost a lot of time. And personal
forget
best.
What it could have been and focus on what it is, right?
It's okay.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's okay.
So I'm really so looking forward to the next season, see if you, how you can
keep
it up.
Where is Jordan?
He's still stuck in Denver, so they're not coming anymore. Of course,
Is there a thunderstorm or what is there?
They had a big snowstorm.
Snowstorm, okay.
And then at some point it just wasn't worth it coming out anymore. So.
Oh no.
But, so I was going to ask you if you have a bib that I could give him.
I have one in the hotel room now because this one I want to keep it's my personal best now. I hope you understand. But maybe Aura sent you one maybe?
Because are you going to be around?
No, that not.
No,
but I will see because I have a friend who lives in America and sometimes she's in Austria and I always give her the things to send.
Okay.
You know,
or if you okay, maybe drop it off at the desk of the hotel and I can pick it up there.
I could
message me what hotel you're staying in.
Maybe just write me again.
I will.
Just
on Instagram?
Yeah, on Instagram.
Yeah, okay.
Nice. Then I will give you the one from the...
I feel so bad for him not being here, so it would be nice to give him a special gift. So I'm sure he'll really appreciate it.
So we're in the Blackstone Mountain Lodge, you know?
Blackstone
Mountain Lodge? Lodge, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And I will put it there on the desk.
Okay, I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, congrats so much.
Yeah.
It was really a pleasure to follow you this season.
And, thank you for
hopefully
cheering.
We can maybe catch up on the off season some point.
Yeah, okay. For sure. Yeah, okay. Would be a pleasure.
Have fun celebrating.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Best.
Oh yeah, no, of course.
I would definitely recommend that everybody go listen to our two interviews with her. I am quite hopeful that we'll be able to have her on again at some point in the future, but definitely I think somebody, it's fair to say we're both very big fans of hers, both as a person but also as an athlete, because she's showing some tremendous talent, tremendous form, you know, at the end of the season. And she's an example of, I wish the next season could start, you know, in like 2 months, because I'm just so excited to see what she does next year.
That's more thinking next week.
Yeah. Right. She can have a vacation. I think she and Emilianne had a vacation plan, so they can go do that and then come back. But,
fair enough.
But, just thinking about, again, I don't want to set expectations sky high, but I'm just really excited where she is going to be next year, the year after that. Cause I mean, honestly, you could tell me that she's, you know, coming in 6th in the overall, and I would totally believe it.
Right.
Just to choose a number at random, not that she has finished 6th, you know, so many times recently.
Yeah, and now she's doing her flower shop, right?
She's doing her flower shop. I thought that was very fun. Yeah, very funny. Did she posted another one of, it was like Anna Gandler, you know, coming back from America, and it was a image of The Rock with just this outrageously large duffel bag, you know, for because of all the things that, you know, all the you know, stuffed animals she's bringing back from the flower ceremony.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny how that's a very popular thing, the stuffed animal with a lot of athletes.
Yeah. Oh, I would, yeah. It's cute. Yeah, absolutely. Because the flowers you're not going to keep, you know, but the stuffed animal, keep it from.
Yeah, and I think 90% of the flowers end up in the stand somewhere.
Yeah. Not good. Sure.
They probably don't know how expensive flowers here are in
yeah, Camel. That's more valuable than the metal or the belt buckle.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
So before we get too deep into it, I mean, I think that we would be remiss to, you know, and we'll obviously talk about more about these athletes. But to me, when I think of Canmore, like I think it really was defined by three athletes, and it was and this is going to be an interesting order I name them in, but this is just how I think about it: is Lou Jean Monod, Lisa Vitozzi, and JT Bo. Just because, mm-hmm. You know, obviously they had those just incredible wins. JT both sweeping the men's races, and Vitozzi with the two on the women's side, and Jean Monod on the winning the third one, the mass start, after mm-hmm. having come in second place in the sprint and the pursuit. But they just they those three of them dominated the week from start to finish, and it was they squeezed the air out of the overall balloon pretty quick.
Yeah, and it's interesting because even though Vitozzi won two out of three, it felt Jean Monod was the more dominant female athlete. It?
Yeah.
And they didn't really have a sprint for the finish in the pursuit, did they?
Vitozzi was ahead by enough that it didn't really come down to that.
12 seconds. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Vitozzi was able to slow down and like really celebrate the end.
Right.
Yeah, you just said it was 12 seconds.
Bo was just like, I wish I could have walked onto the track and then mm-hmm. take a picture of what the athletes see.
Yeah.
And I think I mentioned it before where Samuelson was going past the crowd just before that little bridge mm-hmm. Hump. And then you can literally see like the first athlete, like Bo, going up that steep hill when they come out of the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's like, probably takes 2 minutes at least. And that must be incredibly frustrating. You're not having your day. And then you see the leader of the race. Like, even if you could take a shortcut, skip the shooting, just go straight, you would still, you know, be behind.
Well,
talk about dominance. That was,
yeah.
And his skiing looked as if he wasn't even pushing super hard. And maybe it wasn't, I don't know, but
in the sprint, it looked like he turned it up a little bit, but in the pursuit and the mass start, like if you told me that he never reached like 80% or 90% of his maximum capacity, I would believe it. Cause it never ever looked like he was pushing it. And the sprint, he finishes with this 1:02 advantage, the biggest advantage ever in a sprint. And he starts out with 1:02 in the pursuit. And even though he had a couple of early misses, there was never a point at which he was shooting on the shooting range at the same time as anybody else.
Right.
How ludicrous is that? Like, he had misses on his first two. And still, even on the third shoot, he's still off the range by the time the other guys are starting to shoot. It's just...
Yeah.
He never got flustered in the mass start. Starts out 15 for 15. And these were not, like, in the mass start, these were not blazing fast shooting times. It's 29 seconds, 28 seconds for his prone shootings. I guess 21.9 for standing is pretty quick. And then 24.1 for his last one. But he just was sort of, it was methodical. And, like, I'm just so much better than everybody. Like, I'm just going to dominate. It was...
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. It was a JT Bo that, even though he's won some races by large margins this year, it felt more like last year, where it was like, no, even in the mass start, nobody has a chance. Like, he's going to win, and it's just a matter of who can come in second.
Right. Yeah, that's, I mean, look at the mass start time behind, right? Like,
yeah.
Dalla 45 seconds and then Jacques Collin 108.
Yeah. It was, it didn't even feel that close. Even earlier in the race, you know, before he built up that huge lead, it still was like, you know, like, he was just, you could, the first lap, you know, everybody goes around together and then he shoots and he's got this, what, this little advantage. And then, you know, he's slowly extending that one out and then you get to the second shoot and now suddenly now he's got like this much bigger advantage. But he never, it was never, you know, in the past you could see him do these laps where all of a sudden he just puts in like 10 to 15 seconds on people. That might be an exaggeration, but he never just went crazy and just crushed people in the skiing. It was just, yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's, yeah.
Anyway,
he was something.
He's
man.
The best. Yeah, right? You can. We'll talk about his whole season on our next episode. But yeah, it was.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Maybe you probably, this is one of those things that you don't necessarily get the same view of when you're in the arena or when you're on the ground. But it just, he never really shows that it looks like he's stressed. But it was just like this supreme confidence, like, I'm going to win this. I'm going to win the next one. I'm going to win the last one. And, you know, thank you all for coming to my coronation.
Yeah. No, but what I do remember from, you know, seeing him in close up, he was relaxed and he was enjoying. Like he actually seemed to be skiing with a bit of a smile or a smirk or, yeah, it's ultimate confidence. Yodeling.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Can I just have a quick chat? Congratulations on your win. Got us pretty excited in Soldier Hollow with your not so good race, but it made it exciting. We also want to thank you for giving us a bit more hope that your brother will stay on another year and try to beat you next year.
Yeah.
So
I don't know if he will continue or not. So,
or do you think you didn't give him any hope anymore and now he's gonna stop? Definitely
I think it would be a bigger chance that you would stop if you won the yellow.
That's so, we were saying, so you did us all a favor.
Yeah, hopefully. That's my motivation. I need him on tour, so yeah. I'm crossing fingers, but I know that he hasn't decided yet, so
okay. No, it's excellent and congratulations again. Okay. Thank you.
And did you see at some point somebody asked about going for the yellow jersey next year, going for the overall next year, and he said some comment about how it was too much work and he doesn't want to do it again. Yeah, sure. You know, I'll believe it when I see it.
I get the impression that half the answers he gives are kind of
tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people were commenting that, and again, I was like, you know, even if he meant it at the time, like if he comes into next season and wins two out of the first three races, you're like, well, I might as well go win this one too, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. Someone like that, same as Tarjei and mm-hmm. you know, even QFM maybe didn't have the best season, but they're in it to win it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Maybe on Olympic years, you know, the focus is a bit different.
Yeah.
Or if the, you know, world championships are in their hometown or home nation or.
Yeah.
I don't know if we talked about this before, that there was some talks about, you know, his retirement after the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
And then I read either on a German side or Norwegian side that the rumor was that he actually wanted to continue after the Olympics because the world championships would be in Oslo the year after, the 2 years after.
I think in 28, yeah.
And that Oslo was going to get it, but they forgot to submit the application.
Oh.
So they're not getting it. So now Oslo is not having it. Yeah. I think it's not.
Oh.
What was it? At least 4 more years after the Olympics or 5 more years.
I don't think he's going to stick around until he's 40.
He's not going to wait for that. So I have no idea if this is anywhere true or if you would ask JT, like, what? I know nothing about this, but
yeah,
that would be, you know, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I know. He came into the week with a, was it like a 62 point lead? And he ended the season with a 178 point lead. So it doesn't even, it's almost 200 points. Doesn't even look that close anymore. But, you know, you win three straight races, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. And Tari, like,
he didn't have a bad week. Yeah,
we keep getting into season review, but
I know.
Again, what a weekend. And I still have that sensation of shock when I was like, you know, because I follow Bo into the finish. And, you know, when you're looking through your phone camera, you're kind of missing everything else around you. And I remember going back to the start line to, or the finish line to pick up the next athlete. And then it's Tarje Bo. And I'm like, what? And I was like, that must be one of the other Norwegians that I kind of missed during the race, because I remember seeing, you know, Tarje Bo pretty far back.
Yeah. Oh, he was very
and
far
back. I just
back,
could not believe that he could up caught up, and he had the fastest time, lap 5. Yeah. 2 seconds faster than JT, which, you know, probably took it a little easier. Ponsaloma, Giacomel. Yeah, I mean, incredible. Yeah,
so he was in 17th after the first shooting, Tarje was. And
that still was such
in,
a perfect.
He was in 22nd after the second shooting.
Wow.
He finished the week.
I thought he was skiing with Samuelson at some point.
That would have been it. That would have been it when they were back in the back. They were they were a minute behind, which I guess is sort of where he ended up, but much higher up in the rankings.
I still really would like to know what happened with him.
What do you mean,
Samuelson?
Oh,
well,
in
he was sixth in the sprint, second in the pursuit, and then
in the 30th,
and then mass start, He must have been, like, after the first lap or second lap, he must have been last, almost.
He was. He was in last after the second shoot by a decent margin, yeah. And then, yep. He was shaping up to have a very good weekend. You know, that was his first podium. His first podium he had since the very beginning of the year. Right? Since Hochfilsen. And, you know, when we were, remember, think back this far, when the season started, we were talking about how Samuelson was looking like a man on fire. And, you know, was this a new Samuelson where we're going to see a different type of year from him? And then he sort of faded away and didn't quite have the year that we had hoped. And now here he finished strong until the mass start.
Yeah. I can see missing 3 in prone. The first prone is a bit deflating. And then another 3 in the next prone.
It's like, all right, I'm gonna, you know, just take it easy from here on out.
Yeah.
Serum clearly was taking it easy. He had the same number of misses and finished a minute behind.
Yeah, I don't know what was with him. I mean, it you know, a lot of things we don't know. They could have like a stomach bug or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah.
Before I forget, did you catch this in the mass start finishes? So 23rd place was Philip Horn, 24th was Johannes Kuhn, 25th was Roman Reese, 26th was Danilo Riedmüller, and 27th was Benny Dole. So it went German, 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 German. And they weren't like right next to each other. It was 311, 327, 329, 333, 341. So they were like just spaced out enough, but I just thought that was kind of quirky.
So do you think Justus Strelo is kind of not part of the French
Oh, he's not
group?
One of the cool kids. Yeah, he's not one of the cool kids, no. Clearly. Yeah.
Oh, and Narroth as well.
No.
I did see that they also seem to be pretty close to each other in the standings. Yeah, 12, 13, 14, 15. And then 20,
and
27. Yeah.
I think, did Justus Strelo, did he finish top of the standings? Of the Germans?
No, Johannes Kuhn.
Oh, he did? Really?
And then Benny Dole, and then Jasse Strelo, and then Philip Narroth.
Yeah.
Philip Horn has actually had a good season, too, of the Germans.
Yeah.
Well, he just, you know, considering he was
came up mid-season.
IBU Cup last year.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Going back to Tarjo for a second, it feels like he had a bad weekend, but he didn't. I mean, he went third, fifth, fifth, and it only feels that way, at least to me, because I didn't think about him very much because his brother just sort of was so dominant. But again, the reason I bring it up is not to jump on Tarjo, but it's just another great. It was just a whole season of great weekends. There was no weekend where he'd looked anything other than the second best man in biathlon. So,
I think it felt disappointing because we went into the weekend thinking he needs to basically win all the races.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, and he had a great weekend, right? He had a very good weekend. But,
as did Giacomel.
Giacomel needed to have a good weekend to hold on to the U25 and not get passed at the end like he did by Hartvig last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he must have been pretty excited when Perrault, did he miss two in the first? In that last race? Oh no, he shot the first five shoot. And then he missed the second. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really the it was the second shoot, and Giacomel had a miss and Perrault had a miss, and at that point they were pretty close in the standings, and then Perrault had a little bit of a issue on the last shooting, and at that point I think I texted you at that point it didn't really matter because Giacomel was doing well enough that Perrault needed to basically get a podium. But still, it was. I would have been very happy for either one of them, but it was nice not to have Giacomel, you know, get.
Yeah, I think with the history. At the
yeah. Yeah. He was clearly very, very happy about it.
I think another guy who was really happy was Tero Seppala.
Oh, finally got a top 10.
At some point, I don't know, with one of those moments where you, without thinking, you just put your fist up for a fist pump.
Yeah.
And he's like, super excited.
Yeah. was that the mass start day or the pursuit?
No, I think that was the pursuit
because that was his first top 10 of the year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was pumped. Yeah, he was definitely excited about it.
He was totally pumped. Yeah.
Yeah. That was nice to see. Going back to the Italians for a second. So the Italians obviously had a very good, they had a very good weekend. The Giacomel U25, Fattozzi, obviously the overall. And I think that she also won the Pursuit Globe as well. And, but also, Beatrice Tribucci? Had two personal bests. She finished 13th in the Pursuit and the Mass Start. Biona had a personal best in the Mass Start when he finished 11th. Now, he finished 11th. I think that he and Hofer were intending to finish tied for 10th. But I don't know. I don't know how it works out, but Hofer got 10th and Biona got 11th. And then Elia Zinni had his career best as well. And I don't remember if it was the sprint or the pursuit, but he was.
And other than Hofer, they're pretty young, right?
Very maybe young. All those guys are like early 20s. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So that was pretty cool to
see. And Hofer making a good comeback too, hey? Not so much this last weekend, but just for the season.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially when, because he raced like three races last year, right?
Yeah. That was that year that he was training with the Swedes and people were kind of wondering if he was building some connections to retire and then do some coaching somewhere else. And I cannot imagine that he would not even try to to make it to the Olympics at least.
He looked good enough this year that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And their relay team was really good. They had a couple of podium finishes. So I think especially as, you know, Giacomel is only going to get better and Biona is going to come along. So I think they've actually, if Hofer can hold on, they've got a chance at at a relay medal at the Olympics.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Um, How did you feel about Jacques Lane's weekend? Fourth,
exciting
third.
For us. regrettable for him.
Yeah.
It was another race where, you know, you just feel like there was more in it for him if he just tried a different tactic. But
so
it's funny because I'm starting to see moments where I'm like, I think he's actually trying to slow down. But then he hits one and he's like, oh, yeah, shoot.
Yeah, I wish you guys could all see RJ's face, because I think that is exactly what Jacques Lane does. Here we go.
If you could almost like have a mechanical trigger blocker or whatever, that, you know, he shoots and that it has to reset in 2 seconds rather than just being able to pull the trigger right away.
But what happened is that he would just pull his trigger down immediately on it and just hold it there until it gets go.
Maybe.
I have the experience when I watch him, and then I'm like, oh no, here we go. And, but then halfway through the race, when he's doing well again, I'm like, oh yes, it's going to happen. He's going to do it. And then the inevitable happens. I'm like, oh no, not again. But then I would say this week, there was enough times where, you know, at the end of the race, you're like, oh yes, come on.
I know.
Get back into it.
And I am like, as bad as I feel for him, how he has these so many of these races where, you know, he kind of throws it away by shooting too fast. Well,
yeah,
easy to say, but that's, I really, really hope, because he has these really bad shootings and then comes back in the next lap and still has a chance to win it.
No.
And I really hope he's never going to lose by a half a second.
Yeah.
And then thinking, if I only would have not stopped shooting and shook my head for a second or two and then keep shooting.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, if only I would have shot faster.
No, but you know how he has that tendency of he misses two in a row, and then he pulls his head out of the rifle and shakes his head in disbelief. And then.
I know.
And you cannot be in disbelief, because from experience, you should know by now that, yes, maybe one day, maybe it will click. But so this is going to happen more often than not.
Yeah. No, so I was looking to see the race where you said that you felt he was slowing down. So in the mass start, I think this is it. In the mass start, 26 seconds, 25 seconds, 23 seconds, which 23 seconds for him standing is pretty slow. So, you know, he was working on it. Like, he was trying. He was trying to throttle himself back.
I'd love to be in a room and understand French when he's talking to his coach.
I wonder too. Are they trying to make him the best he can be while still allowing him to be himself? Does that make sense? Like,
I honestly don't think it's a matter of allowing.
Yeah, he's going to do it anyway.
Cuz you're not allowed to talk to them in the range, mm-hmm. but like, I've even seen coaches yell at them, and again, I don't know what they're saying in French, but I could very easily imagine that it would be like, you know, merde, Emilien, slow down. Idiot. Yeah, they must be pulling their hairs out sometimes. But,
and it would be one thing if he was like, this is not derogatory, but if he was like, you know, middle of the road, like if he was like a, I usually wouldn't say middle of the road, but good, but not great. Like if he was a Kretschmar, right? Like he can get in the top 10, but he doesn't have the talent to be a, you know, top three in the overall type guy. But he does, right?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, imagine him finding a way to slow it down and just increase his shooting a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
He would probably, especially in pursuits and mass starts, he'd probably be right up there, not necessarily winning, but he definitely would increase his chances in the World Cup standings,
right?
And he's already what, sixth this year in the end?
He ended up sixth. He was the top non-Norwegian, and that was with most of the season really not looking all that great.
Well, true, yeah.
Man.
I still feel like they found some miracle wax at the World Championships and
well,
stuck
things,
with that for
things
the rest
turned
of the
around.
Season.
Things turned around. Didn't, I guess QFM had some good finishes in there as well. He would have had one even better finish in Soldier Hollow had he not.
Well, remember Antholtz?
Where
he was what, in second position, and then
the
two Norwegians just basically flew by him.
But yeah, starting you're absolutely right, because starting at Worlds is like from that moment on they have been skiing much much better.
Although in all fairness, the women were skiing pretty strong all season.
That's what I was going to say, is that the women were good the entire season. So whether it was the wax, whether it was the miracle wax, the wax from heaven, or that was just their training, just for whatever reason, led them to peak later in the year. But
and it's funny, because now that I think of it, there's been a number of teams who, my guess is, tried to peak at the World Championships, but really started doing well after, like as if they missed their peak by a week.
Who are you thinking?
Well, Estonian women. I mean, they had a strong world championship, but they were really strong after that.
I would
say
the American
seemed
men
to be pick it up. There was another country that I was thinking of.
Speaking of Swedes, I just want to mention her real quick, but Hanna Oberg had a really nice finish. She fifth, seventh, and sixth this week, and that was actually her best run of consistency and since the very beginning of the year. It was just nice to see. I feel like this is sort of actually that was her longest streak all season, right? It was just her best stretch of the season, so it was nice for her in what was had to be a frustrating year to go out like that. But
yeah,
and I just wanted to mention
to
her
be very
quick.
Honest. And that's most likely fed by the recent results. When I'm looking at the standings where she's at, I'm almost surprised that she's far below her sister.
Yeah.
Because Elvira was kind of felt that Hannah had a stronger season than Elvira all combined, but clearly not, because Elvira is 829, Hannah has 528.
Yeah.
So,
But getting back to what you were saying, I do think that there were like, the Estonian women, the French men, I think the Austrian women, well, maybe it was just Anna, you know, kind of, she definitely did well at Worlds, but then clearly carried that through to the rest of the season. I think you mentioned the Swedes, they definitely didn't have a great earlier part of the year, but definitely looked better later.
Well, they started really good though.
Well, they started
they
on fire.
Seem to always do.
And then they faded very fast.
Yeah. Rasta Guyev also had a really strong season. Oh,
he
we're
did.
Going into the season again.
I know, we're doing it again.
Focus. Canmar, focus.
Merd, RJ, what are you doing? Slow down. Actually, you were talking about the French finishing. I actually had written this down already and I forgot to mention it, but the French weekend, you had Jacques Lanz, 4-4-3. Jean Monod, second, first. Julia Simon, who was clearly disappointed to lose the Pursuit and the Masstar Globes at the very end, but we can talk about that more later. 4-4-7. Justine Brézard-Boucher, 3-8-4. And then Antonin Guigonnaud's sister, who I'm not sure how to pronounce her first name, Gillon, 11th, 5th, and 3rd. So overall, the French really had a nice had a nice weekend in Canmore. So maybe Emilienne. After last season, he had some notes that he brought back and was able to prep the team well. I'm going to give him credit for a nice scouting trip.
And there was I was a bit surprised talking about women who seem to have a good weekend with Stina Nielsen, who had completely fallen off my radar, and she was 24th in the sprint. I think she did quite well in the maybe not pursuit. How did she do? Oh, not good at all. 53rd with 8 misses. Okay,
well, I'll take that back. She had a good, she had a good sprint.
I was happy to see her back on the team.
Yeah.
And then I also think Anna Magnusson has had a pretty solid season.
I think so.
Had some really good legs in the relays.
She had a solid weekend too. I mean, this is what I liked about Magnusson's season is not that she had all these great finishes, but it seemed like she was more consistent week to week. And I don't have the numbers to back that up, but it just seemed like rather than a couple of top tens and then some, like, you know, 45ths, it was more like I'm in 12th, I'm in, you know, I'm in 11th, I'm in 15th, right? So just the race to race consistency was there. Right. Yodley.
Anna, he's not making you retire too, is he?
No.
No. Okay, that's good. Was it known very long?
Or what?
Was it known for quite a while? I mean, I'm sure you knew, but...
of course, I don't know when he decided exactly, but he told the team some days ago.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
I think everyone... had a feeling.
Not a super shot.
No.
Now he has even more time to support you, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Looking forward to have him behind my back taking time.
Yeah, and there you go. Yeah, absolutely. Well, you're having a good end of the season, hey?
Yeah. I think I have maybe not had everything together, skiing and the shooting, but maybe I have had the best races in the relays.
Yeah.
I'm satisfied, but of course I want to be on the podium.
Yes, after you win last season, we want to see more of that.
one race left.
Yeah,
one
there you go. Okay, let's do it tomorrow. Okay, good luck.
You finished 15th overall, which is a really good season.
And who was on the Swedish team? I can't think of her name. Miss Giggles.
Mona Borson?
No, Giggles? Mona Borson is the one that retired, right?
Yeah.
But there was another Swede who had a first win of her career either this year or last year. I think it was last year.
Lynn Pearson?
Was it Lynn Pearson?
She had shoulder surgery. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So she left early for shoulder surgery. But I was going to say, just to wrap up my Magnusson thought, was that she had her win last year. She had 2 podiums last year, but she had more top 30s this year.
Okay.
So that's what I was thinking. Anyway.
And I mean, you still have to do it, but her win last year was a bit of a, not a fluke, but was,
I think,
partially part of the conditions, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And I think it was early, right? I think it's earlier than we might have expected. Right. Because I think her career is still on the upslope.
Yeah.
We haven't actually spoken a whole lot about Vitazzi today. I don't know if you want to save that for next episode, just because I think there's a really good conversation to have about her whole career arc and her season. But I did want to mention that this weekend in particular, just, and obviously she had 2 wins, right? So that does a lot, right? That makes you look really good.
Right.
But the way she raced in those 2 wins was just really representative of her whole season, and that she never looked flustered in those wins. Obviously, the mass start, whole different issue. I think that there was a lot of pressure on her with the globe, and she didn't sleep well the night before. And I just think that sort of changes things. But the sprint and the pursuit, she steady. She at times was willing to give up time on the tracks to set herself up. She knew that she was the best shooter. She hit the targets and just like she, it looked like very much, I've got my race. If I run my race, I'm going to win. And, you know, and she did it right. She came into the weekend with a pretty significant deficit. And after one race, she had some help. After one race, wiped that out and then put it out of reach really in the second race. So, you know,
and I think we talked about it after the previous weekend in Soldier Hollow, but I really felt it was hers to lose.
Yeah.
The globe.
Hi, Lisa. Hi. You've been in a similar position a couple of years ago with Dorothea. Do you feel you've learned anything from that experience that makes you even stronger for the situation you're in now?
Yeah, for sure. I am a different person, and I manage all the things in different way, and all the pressure, the expectation, and all the stuff that before the race, it's not helping so much.
Right.
So today I was nervous, but I believe that when I'm race, I'm another person, and I'm kind of push the bottom and and I'm a new one.
And with the position you're in, do you change your tactics for tomorrow because you kind of know who you need to be in front of to go for the globe, or is it all out and just
all out? And I will do my best, and
of course,
I don't want to count the points or the position. I will do my best, and we will see at the finish. So it's important for me to not have thoughts about if I'm second. She has to be on. No, it's not my
the shape you're in now.
Yeah. I go for it, and we will see. If I win, I'm happy. If I don't win, maybe it was someone better than me.
Right. Well, congratulations on the two wins so far. Can I just give you a small present for our podcast? And
thanks.
Best of luck tomorrow.
Thanks.
Okay.
Many people will say this, and probably a lot of them in the Norwegian media, that Tangevold lost the overall. I don't think she did. I think Vatatzi went out there and won it, right?
Tangevold, although from Tangevold's perspective,
sure,
she definitely had an end of season meltdown, but
it's not like Vatatzi went like seventh and fifth and then stumbled into it. Like, she won the races.
Yeah, and she beat a very strong, dare I say, strongest biathlete of the women's tour this year.
Lou Jean Monod was pretty damn good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that you'd be and reaching to say that.
Hi, Lou. Congratulations on an awesome season. I talked to you a couple of days ago in the parking lot briefly, and you were talking about when you're in a leading position, you would be very nervous. You look very cool today.
I was still a bit nervous on the last shooting, and it's been a really good race. I'm still wanting to improve this last shoot, because in my way it was I was not so focused on the way and too much on the result.
Right.
So there's still things to improve, but
that's scary for the other athletes.
But there is always things to improve.
I know.
Every athlete will say that. So it's still relieving, because my race has been really nearly perfect.
And a perfect experience for.
And much experience for the next season. And
if there was only one more World Cup, right? but
still, it's many experience for the next year. Well, I can say maybe I could fight for the globe, and
you could.
I need
you should.
I need to be able to say that. So
yeah.
So all the races I've raced today this season will give me a lot of
confidence
and experience and everything for the next season.
Well, it was a pleasure this season to watch you.
Thank you.
And see you succeed, and we really hope that you continue this for the next season.
So thank you.
A lot of luck.
Thank you.
Enjoy your off season.
Thank you.
I quickly looked at the some of the stats. So obviously, her best rank, Vatatzi's, was first, but her worst rank this whole season was 21st in non-team events.
That was in the mass start.
Pardon me?
That was in the mass start in the last race. Yeah.
And if you look at Jean Monod, for example, again, first and worst was 24th.
Yeah.
And then Simone, first and 31st. and Tandervolt first and 19th. So she also had a really strong
So interestingly enough, I'm looking at it right now. Jean Monnot's average points per race was 55. Vitozzi's was 54.7. Mm-hmm. So in a full
Can you
season,
check Preutz as well.
Preutz was 42.2. Okay. So in a full season, Jean Monnot was going to win. If you look at average position, so average finish, Jean Monnot was 6th, Vitozzi was 5.6, and Preutz was 6.4. And those were the top three. Man, we'll talk about it more in the recap, but I just wish we could have had a full season of Preutz this year.
Yeah. I just saw a post that her surgery went well. And
yes.
That she's under recovery.
Thank goodness. It may never happen, but I just want like 2 good years of Preutz in her peak.
I know.
Because yeah, it was fun. It was fun when she was there.
Well, did she have like 3 or 4 races in a row where she came in 4th or?
I know.
Super consistent.
Yes. Yeah. She was always right there. It's like, please just let her have it. Didn't she have like 3 second places? Yeah, she finished in 2nd 3
Something
times.
Like that. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, you know, she's so close. Yeah. Speaking of German women, Janina Hettig-Waltz, second place in the mass start. And I'm very proud of her for the second place. But I think what really was cool to me was that she was really going head to head with Jean Monnot there. And and we just talked about Jean Monnot being, you know, maybe the strongest of the women's field. And Hettig-Waltz like didn't look at all overwhelmed or like she was out of place. You know, she matched Jean Monnot shot for shot. With 15 out of 15 and then one miss each on the last shooting. Right. Ended up losing by 12 seconds. I think she just doesn't have the ski speed that Jean Monnot does at this point in her career, but she'll never have it because Jean Monnot is really fast, but really cool to see her do that, especially after getting the silver medal in the individual at Worlds.
Yeah, I don't recall, ended up in 10th, for the season.
Yes, her career is definitely on the rise, and a couple of years ago might not have pegged her to be up there, but I think that Germans, right? If Preutz can come back healthy and Hettig-Waltz comes back and takes another step forward, they could have a couple women there in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of women that we can hope for being in the top 10, Marketa Davidova.
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry?
No, I was going to say the last part of the season, she seemed more like herself.
Yeah.
That was the other team that I was thinking of earlier. The Czechs actually had a strong end of the season. Just timed a little bit too late because the world championships were okay, but not what they would have hoped, I'm sure.
Yeah. Especially being at home. But I was going to say, you know, another top 10. That was nice to see from her. I just feel bad, right? Do you remember a couple of years ago when I talked about she might retire and go be a vet?
Yeah, so I talked to her about that.
Did you? Oh, in the interview.
Yeah, I told her that. You should just listen to it. But
we'll play it right now.
Yeah, I asked her a little bit about her studies and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
We talked to your coach earlier in the season on the Penalty Loop podcast. You had a little bit of doubt if you were going to keep going or go back to studies. You must be pretty excited that you stuck with the biathlon for it.
Yeah, I was thinking about it after the Olympic Games, now I think I will, like, I end the school which I studied, and I want to go for a vet school, but then it was the choice if I want to do biathlon or vet school, but I skipped the vet school, so I will, like, continue with the biathlon. I don't know how long, but...
Of course, maybe not like Bjørn Dalen for another 30 years, we're very happy to see you on the course still, so really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I'm really excited. I was worried that you know, if the season sort of had gone the way it was going. I mean, there's a middle part of the season where she was 15th, 59th, 38th, 46th, mm-hmm. that maybe she would just kind of step away. But the last the last few weeks, 10th, 12th, 11th, 9th, 25th, 8th. So, you know, she's definitely
going to stick around. Although, you know, as you heard in the interview, she's not going to do a Olena Bjørndalen, but
yeah,
she'll be around for a while.
Yeah. So very happy to hear that.
Mm-hmm. And I mentioned her today already, but Lampitch 17th in the overall World Cup standings. I don't have her in the last five races. She was almost 4% faster in the top compared to the top 30 skiers. Prone 65%, her standing 55%.
Come on.
And she is 17th in the world. Did I just say that?
17th in the world?
17th in the world. Like, considering somebody has shooting percentages like that, and I think is almost, I don't know if she started every mass start, but she has been in a lot of mass starts where I was like, oh, I guess Lampage is in there.
Yeah.
And, you know, based on being 17th in the world, she deserves it. But, yeah. Like, I know there's always the balance. Some are faster, some are better shots.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a very, very two outliers in faster skiing and in shooting worse.
Yeah. And we always say it all the time, like, if she can just learn how to shoot decent.
Yeah, and I mean,
maybe she doesn't.
It's shooting is like, I think we've talked to Matthias amongst others about that, where skiing is something that it sure helps if you've been skiing since you were 2 years old, but it's something that you can work on and get better at.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say easily, but there's progress to be made mm-hmm. by training hard. And I think shooting, you also have to practice really hard, but there's something else to it that just comes from experience and having a feel for it. And even if she can bring it up to 80%.
Yeah. Yeah, she could win. She could win at 80%.
But then is it going to be at the expense of her skiing or not? Don't know, right?
She could shed a little bit of speed still and still be, right? Because we saw...
competitive, yeah.
Right? Mbreza Boucher went a sprint at 80% earlier this year.
And I mean...
it's possible.
Who's to say if she would ski 1% faster than the top 30? Maybe her shooting would be better already.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Who knows? That's true. But.
I know we're getting close to being done with this this episode, but I did want to mention a couple of Swiss women. Lena Hockey-Gross, of course, with another podium in the sprint. Yeah. What a great season. I definitely want to mention her on our wrap up, because that was one of my true joys of the year was watching her.
Yeah.
Ama Baserga had a career best in the mass start. And so that was actually she came into the season with a career best of 12th. Earlier in the season, she matched it twice. And then she got a 10th a couple of weeks ago and then got a 9th. So she's moving on up. It's mm-hmm. nice to see. I know that a lot of people
can't get over how tall she is.
Is she tall? Baserga?
Oh, so I saw her ski by and uh-huh. thinking, oh, who's that? Because it's definitely not Baserga. Because I always pictured Baserga as...
I thought Baserga was like 5'2".
Augenthaler or Ida Lien, like smaller kind of...
Yeah.
I don't want to... The word skinny is not the right word, but...
Yeah, lean.
Lean.
Yeah.
And then... Yeah, no, she definitely has a different posture than I thought.
She's ripped, isn't she? Like, she's built.
Oh, yeah.
I remember seeing her.
Like, you don't want to get in her way, kind of built.
Last season or a couple of years ago, and she was wearing short sleeves, and I was like, holy crap. Like, she has some serious guns.
Yeah.
I just, yeah. So I, yeah, big fan of Amy Basarga over here. Mm-hmm. Amy, we love you. Just please don't beat us up because you could do it pretty easily.
Yeah.
In all seriousness, big fan. I have high hopes. I'm hoping that she can follow kind of the progression that Anna Gondler had this year. That next year can be that mm-hmm. for her. Late season, well, top 10. Yeah,
I really do believe, you know, assuming the team atmosphere is good, that mm-hmm. success in the team helps.
Yes. Yeah,
the whole team, right? Stalder yeah. had a great season. Hartwick has a lot of potential.
Oh yeah, yeah. Hockey Gross, right? We mentioned her already.
Yeah.
Basarga coming up. There are a couple younger women on the junior circuit that I have hype hopes for as well. So,
And is it the upcoming season that Lenzerheide is the world championship?
Sure is. Yeah, hey? Yep.
Yeah.
Nothing would make me happier than seeing Hockey Gross win a medal in Lenzerheide, right?
Oh, like
that would be...
Yeah.
Right. Obviously, Stalder and Hartwig.
As long as it doesn't make her think about retiring after.
Oh, God, no. She's still young, man. So
yeah, she's 28. Like, seriously, yeah,
she's been around for a decade.
I know. Yeah,
I cannot crazy. Believe it. She's been around for a decade, and she, yeah. Anyway, we're going to talk about her a lot. One of my favorite stories of the season. So I've just got a lot of stuff to get into for her.
Yeah.
Anybody else? I want to share a moment for just a thought for Julia Simone. She's a complicated athlete. I think a lot of people have complicated feelings about her because of the issue with the credit cards and whatnot. And I don't want to talk about that. But she came into the weekend with the chance to win the Pursuit and the Mass Start Small Globes, and
mm-hmm.
she lost them both. And you could just see it on her face and in the interviews and. I don't know if you saw her afterwards, but she looked I don't know if it was exhaustion or like a brokenhearted, but no, she just looked.
I don't know if I sent you the picture, but I have a picture of her being interviewed after the sprint. And she almost looks similar to Tanner Volt.
Yeah. I just.
Like there was in a disbelief, kind of.
Yeah. I just feel bad. I hate that for anybody. You kind of. Mm-hmm. Somebody has to lose it for somebody else to win it, but it's still, that's hard.
Yeah. Where did she end up, actually? Oh. Well. So she was fourth in the sprint, so
yeah.
I'm probably confusing.
I think it was after the pursuit, because I think it was in the pursuit that she lost the globe at the very, 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 very end.
Two misses, yeah.
Yeah, and Vitozzi ended up winning it, and it was Vitozzi had the one miss, and so that was it. Like, that was the I guess that wasn't it, because she finished well off the podium, but it doesn't matter, right? It was she was in the mix. She could have held on to it, and then three misses in her last 10 shots. But
mm-hmm.
I just I hate it.
Just a question
mm-hmm.
based on just a feeling answer.
Mm-hmm.
What would make you more surprised if next season, Jean Monod continues the way she ended the season, or if mm-hmm. she has the very typical, it seems, you know, second year setback.
What would I be more surprised about?
Yeah.
I would be more surprised. So I'm going to answer the question carefully. So I would be more surprised if she continues on the tear she's on right now, because she hasn't finished outside the top three since the World Championships, and I think that's completely unsustainable. And I think over the course of a year, you're going to have some moments where you look, you know, not quite superhuman, you know, just really, really good.
Right.
Right. So she finishes 12th. And I think that over the course of a season, she's more likely to do that. I don't think that she's going to have a super slump. I think that she's going to, barring illness, I think she'll be a top five in the overall, if not, you know, competing for the globe at the end of the year. This is a question for you to prepare for next time. I want you to come up with a list of all the women you think can win the overall next year. And then I want you to make a list of all the men you think can win the overall next year. And how much longer? How many more women are on the list than men? You don't have to answer now.
Just, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Potential winners.
Yep. And you can be as broad with that as you want. Like, if you want to put Anna Gondler on the list, like, you know, go for it.
Okay.
And I'm also curious who you put on the list, because there are a couple women that I have that I'm like, should I put them on there or not? But anyway, okay. we'll say that.
Are you going to make the same list?
I'm making the same list. Yep. And I want to see who we come up with.
Cool.
Anybody else? Any other things?
No. I guess. Yeah. The Germans actually had a very solid season.
Yeah.
With some good results in Camor, and yeah, unfortunately, Benny Doll, not the finish he would have hoped. Didn't go out in lesser style, but I guess that's also maybe a big expectation. But, you know, the hope was there with him winning earlier in the season. But because he was clean, and then he had big misses, right, in the last race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's... Camor was just incredible. Was incredible.
Do you know where Germany finished in the Nations Cup, the men?
No, I do not.
They finished in second.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say top three, guessing, but...
Yeah.
I do just wonder who's first, though.
Yeah.
Especially on the men's side.
It was pretty close, yeah.
Who was the women's? It must be France, right?
Yeah. Yep. And then, the women's went France, Norway, Sweden, Germany, Italy.
Right.
Yep. Special shout out, and we'll do this again in the season recap, but to Poland, the Polish women secured 10th place in the Nations Cup. They get the extra starter for next season, so that's excellent.
Next year, yeah.
Yeah, that's really big. They've got a lot of young athletes coming up, so congratulations to them. Also, before we go, Biba Bendika, the biggest riser of the day in the pursuit. She wasn't happy with her sprint race, but she just went blazing in the pursuit. It was awesome to see. So, you know, and we know how much she loves Canmore. She shared the picture of her tattoo and the three sisters. So that was awesome.
That was awesome. Yeah.
And I thanked her. She is, last I heard from her, she is on her way home. She was in a layover in Amsterdam. She should be home with her baby boy very soon. So I can't imagine how excited she's going to be.
Yeah. Like she'll take 2 days off and then start.
Yeah, she'll put him in a carriage, right? And, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he's going on some training rides this year.
Yeah. All right, man.
Yeah. This is great. I'm excited that we've got the season. I'm not ready to say goodbye yet, you know, for, you know, and go to less frequent conversations, less frequent recorded conversations, I should say. So. We got the World Cup season wrap up, the IBU and junior season wrap up. We got some interviews, so we got a lot coming on.
Should be good.
All right, man.
Okay.
Take care.
Take care. Bye bye.